Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You'd be best in best friends. That is true. I'm trying to think.
I'm not running fast. That's
I'm not running fast either. I'm probably not doing the three cone drill. I'm not a bad thrower, despite what we see on Proper Shot. I'm
that's the one thing we can definitively prove you are bad at.
Right.
Yeah. We have the footage.
Matthew Berry will be throwing at the combine.
Matthew Berry will throw at the combine. Yeah, I'm not going
to
wait for
Matthew Berry plans to do everything at the combine, especially stay at high velocity till it closes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. Back from Indy, I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry, Jake Croucher. Tough to even get into this one, fellas. I don't even know what we're laughing at this point.
You're a terrible throw. We've seen definitively
Best of bet.
I'm just here where it's like I'm all mic'd up and I'm trying to throw like at a short distance with a small ball. Give me an actual NFL football and give me a target.
Okay.
I'm actually pretty good.
Okay.
I'm like Mason Rudolph-esque, right? You know, in terms of my accuracy.
He's not great. For himself.
He's okay. Yeah. I'm just saying. I don't have the arm strength. I can't, you know, I can't launch it 50 yards.
Chad Pennington.
I am surprisingly accurate.
Okay. Bailey Zappi.
Take your word. We'll
You know what?
I like Bailey Zappi.
Little Zappi hour.
Zappi hour.
It's good to see you guys in person as opposed to over email. I would just like to point out that who drinks free today? It's the NBC group email. Everyone that was on our group email yesterday. So here's what happened here at NBC Sports. And then we're going to get into all the free agency news, combine, risers and fallers. We've got a lot to get to today. But for people that don't work in corporate America, there is a thing called an email alias, and you can send it to an email alias. So for example, there is an email alias for all the people that have to edit my stuff. It takes a massive team to make my gibberish into somewhat presentable content for America, right? So I email, like, whatever, you know, Matthew Berry team. It's a different email alias than that. But there's one, and it goes to everyone on this alias, so that whoever is on can then edit whatever I've just sent in, right? Okay. So there's an alias at NBC that has literally everyone in the company on it. Okay. So then yesterday, somebody emails somebody else, and they somehow accidentally include this alias. So this email goes out to everyone in the company, at least it seems like, almost everyone in the company.
Not me. By the way, which made me wonder if I had a job here still. Which made me wonder if I should show up today.
We didn't like his combine.
But besides
coverage,
that, the commentary I got to follow in the group chat was great. I felt like I was there.
Well, maybe I'm surprised your badge worked today.
Yes.
So, the awkward part is that the email was about you and your employment status. But it's fine. We'll deal with that after the show. But in all seriousness, the crazy thing is the amount of people that work at this company that don't understand what an email alias is, which is that you can't actually remove yourself from it. It's a generated thing that has to happen in IT or something like that, where they put everyone's email address into this one alias. And so everyone is just like, please take me off this list. And you can't take them off the list. And they're just, everyone's like, me too. And all of a sudden now this email string is going on and on and on and on. And it's blowing up everyone's phones. It's like a crisis. And it's like a self-test of like, how smart are you? Like, don't respond. Don't just delete them. You know what I mean? It's obviously
it'll die on its own if everybody doesn't touch it.
That's right.
Yeah. The reply, it's one of those things, too, where there was an incident at the last company I worked at where a friend of mine, who Connor and I had dinner with in Las Vegas after I was drinking away my comeback player of the year sorrows with 50 Old Fashions, and he, on a night out at about 3:50 a.m., just hit reply all on a company-wide email just like two words of gibberish. It was like fluff egg or something, complete gibberish. And so it's like, are we going to acknowledge that this happened? Or like the group CEO is reading fluff egg from this guy?
Did anyone touch it?
No one ever acknowledged it. Except for me.
Yeah, this is well done.
That's a very smart company. So finally, it was like, it's like the old Whitney Cummings joke, which is like, I've never been in jail, but I have been on a text chain. Which is similar to that, where you're just, and I have to give a shout out to Stephanie, who does wardrobe for us here. Stephanie is the hero we didn't know we needed, but we absolutely did.
She's Batman.
Because Stephanie finally emails everyone, goes, guys, here's how you do it. You hit ignore and everything,
instructions.
You delete and ignore, and then every email past this will now go into your spam folder or whatever, and like, this is how you get out of it. And so, shout out to Stephanie. Maybe not the hero we wanted, but the hero we needed.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she makes you presentable on this show and clearly solves the email issues.
Stephanie is an MVP, an unsung hero of the National Broadcasting Company. So anyway, everyone, you guys all drink free. Yesterday.
Thank
it was unbelievable.
God, it's Friday.
It was dark.
Unbelievable.
It was a dark day in America.
It was a dark day.
All right, let's get into the landing spots.
And I wanted to, because I'm a jerk, what I wanted to do, and I didn't, but I wanted to do was like reply all today.
Reinvigorate it.
Yes. Like I was, everyone's like sitting there going like, please take me off. And I was just going to be like, hey, I'm also not supposed to be on it, but please keep me on. I find it fascinating. And then I was going to restart it again today, being like, how's everyone doing for the weekend? What's up, gang?
It's like pouring gasoline on a cigarette that was just put out.
But anyway,
they're on brand for you.
I decided that was too far, a bridge too far to cross. Let's talk football.
All right, let's talk football. Let's get into some landing spots with some player transactions or soon-to-be transactions. And a guy we got to start with is Russell Wilson. The Broncos officially will release him when the new league year opens on March 13th. Russ already has permission to seek out new landing spots, and three teams already in play here, guys. He met with the Giants, exploratory conversations.
It's a Russ-a-sance.
Yes.
It's a Russ-a-sance.
I already have the Russ merch. Yeah. I already have the stupid Russell Danger Russ.
How is Big Blue Nation feeling about a potential Russ?
Yeah. Let's ride.
Yeah, in New York City.
Not great.
Taxi cab.
Yeah, not great in the community. Yeah. The Giants
let's
community.
Hail.
Yeah.
Yes, hail a cab.
Yeah. No, my Giants fan friends, all of them, not that bullish about Russell Wilson. Because the thing is like, it's like a different version of your Jacoby Brissett thing on the Commanders. Where it's like, what's the point? What's the point of Russell Wilson? Like, the team isn't good enough around him to get to the Super Bowl or anything. So what, is he going to take the team from like 6 wins to 8 wins? Like, great, what's the point? Like,
it's exactly, just set a floor. Yeah. Honestly, it's exactly what it is.
So what are we doing? Is it going to maybe save some jobs?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
That's your answer.
And so it's not going to help the long-term outlook of the team. Not going to win the Super Bowl with him. At least if he goes to the Steelers, you could talk yourself into maybe, oh, great defense, Russ, maybe he activates the skill position players in ways that Pickett and Rudolph could not, and maybe there is something there where they could, win a playoff game. Giants aren't doing anything with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, he's going to meet with the Steelers, he's going to meet with the Raiders, he'd be an upgrade for them as well. They might be too far out in the draft to get a quarterback, so that's why that might make some sense. One thing to note, too, I mean, his odds less than 24 hours ago to go to the Giants was plus 2,500 per DraftKings.
Yeah,
that is now plus 600. As you see the odds here, he's still favored to go to the Steelers at minus 200. Minus 300 now. That's moved. Plus 400 for the Raiders, plus 450 to the Vikings. But the Giants have significantly climbed upward, Matthew.
I think the interesting one here is the Vikings, who, and we'll get to Kirk Cousins in a second, but they could be in need of a quarterback, and they're not going to run back the Nick Mullins, Jaren Hall experience. So, look, I will say that with these markets, they're not super reliable and indicative of what's going to happen just because, they're low-limit markets. They move off of air. And so I wouldn't look into this, but he's definitely going to the Steelers. It does make a lot of logical sense. That would be the landing spot that makes the most sense. Though Minnesota kind of looms an interesting team because they are a team where I do think he would make sense because the rest of the roster is so solid.
Well, I mean, and by the way, the other thing is that it sort of depends on what Russell Wilson wants at this stage of his career. He has made a ton of money, right? I mean, all the jokes aside about the contract, the fact of the matter is he's a very, very, very wealthy man. And so there's a scenario where he may say, like, I just want to go to the team that gives me the best shot at another Super Bowl, and I'm happy to give a team-friendly deal here. Or he may say, I want to make more money, or I want to go to the team that gives me the best chance to start. Exactly. But I think the Steelers, at the moment, there's not a quarterback job open on the Vikings. Of the jobs that are currently open in the market, the Steelers make the most sense. Because, again, whatever you think of Russell Wilson, he is an upgrade over Kenny Pickett. He is an upgrade over Mason Rudolph. To your point, they do have nice skill players on the offense. They have a good defense. They made the playoffs last year. Like, that's a playoff team. And so is Russell Wilson enough to, potentially get them over there? By the way, especially when you think about, again, we have a lot of fun at Arthur Smith's expense in the show, but as the new offense coordinator, you would think that a Russell Wilson-led offense on the Steelers under Arthur Smith would kind of be similar to what he did in Seattle, in the sense, we're going to be run heavy, we're going to take our shots downfield. Right. Russell still throws a good deep ball, right? I mean, and they have Pickens and Deontay Johnson, and so, just be, try to make Russell hyper-efficient and the offense isn't around him. It's going to be we're going to run the ball and we're going to play good defense. We're going to be a Mike Tomlin team, right?
Yep. Connor, I think the big question is just, how good do you think Russell Wilson is at football now?
Right.
Because I believe he was 18th in EPA per play, 18th in PFF grade, certainly looked like the 18th best quarterback in football, that type of range, perfectly average. But, I mean, we're 2 years removed from a team giving him $250 million and him being, everyone's trendy MVP pick. Is the Seattle guy there at all, or do you think he's just in a different phase?
No, I don't even think physically he's there anymore. But is he smart enough to manage the game, kind of what you're alluding to? I would think so, right? I think he's somebody also that still kind of refound that rushing element last year at times. That's a big thing we were wondering on this desk from a fantasy perspective, and it does play into actual football, is can you run a little bit as well? Because the Steelers, besides when Trubisky thought he could do it, have not had that element under center as well. So it's about finding the upgrade and about finding a guy that can take care of the football. And here's the other kicker, guys, of why there would be interest with him amongst these three teams. He could take a one-year $1.21 million deal, because that's the veteran minimum, and he's still getting paid out that $39 million by the Broncos.
Exactly.
So he's probably signing a veteran minimum deal. So if you're a team, salary cap implications or not, right, you're not worried about that, or you are, Russell Wilson fits for you.
Here's the other thing that I would say here. Think about Russell Wilson's career. All right, so Russell Wilson, he's in Seattle, whatever. That for whatever reason, that breaks up, right? So then he goes to Denver. And, Nathaniel Hackett is named the head coach, and that is just a disaster. And whether that's Russell's fault with the separate floor office or whatever, and the quarterback coach that wasn't part of the team, or whether it's Hackett's, think jury's still out. But certainly there's a lot of blame that was placed on Hackett.
Yeah, everybody looks bad right now.
It looked bad. So then you go to, so now they go in and they hire Sean Payton, who's the best, it's new ownership in Denver, and they bring in Sean Payton. So it's they're sort of forced together. They're stuck together, right? Russell Wilson and Sean Payton didn't choose each other. So it was kind of this hey, figure it out. Work together. You know what I mean? Sort of like me and Jay, right? I mean, it's just kind of one of those things, right?
That's
we're
a
good
comparison.
Right, exactly.
Russell Wilson?
Right, exactly. I think you're Nathaniel Hackett.
That's the worst.
I feel like I'm Patrick Sertan in all of this, just kind of on the other side of the ball.
No, jokes aside.
Well appreciated.
But jokes aside, in all seriousness, though, but now he's going to get to go to a situation where, A, he's got full control. He can go to whatever team he wants to, and whatever team is going to want him. You know what I mean? So it's not a marriage. It's not a forced marriage the way it has seemed to be the last 2 years. He's going to be smart, I think, and go to a system that he feels like fits his style, that allows him to play, and it's going to be a team that wants him there.
Right.
That actually, hey, we want you here because we think we can win with you as well. And we can get out of Kirk Cousins as well, because that sort of ties into Russell Wilson. Because if Kirk Cousins leaves for Atlanta, which is, what the current rumor is, then the Vikings, which have a playoff team, which have a, team that, has a lot of skilled players as well, also an improving defense, there's not a lot out there to replace Kirk Cousins. The Vikings are built to win now, and it's as quarterback-friendly a coach in Kevin O'Connell as he can find.
Right, and if you're the Vikings, and I know this for a fact, they have been doing extensive homework on this quarterback class, but they're also, like the Raiders, sitting there and going, we don't know if anyone's making it to us anymore.
No, that's
so. That's why Kevin O'Connell was obviously very vocal at the combine about the need to, or the hope to, bring back Kirk Cousins, which is far from a guarantee. because they're a team, like you said, built to win now, but they're also a team that if you got a rookie quarterback that you believe in that can win now, you don't even know if that quarterback's going to be there because you pick outside the top 10.
Yep. Why do you think this is happening with Cousins? Because it really felt fait accompli. He was just going to go back. Do you think it's a money thing? Do you think there's a disconnect or a concern with the Achilles? You know, random things.
I think it's money.
Yesterday, I just Googled like a quarterback Achilles injuries. Quarterbacks just never do their Achilles. It's like Vinny Testaverde in like 1999 and then Rodgers and Cousins. I guess now because guys are just playing later into their careers, but I don't really know what Cousins is going to look like. I would assume that he's probably going to be fine. I know like planting your leg and everything.
It is the plant leg.
Yeah.
Which Rodgers was a concern. Not. Cousins is.
But also, like, he's not relying on his mobility at all, really. So, suspect that, you know, you'd project that he's going to be, like, I don't know, the 12th best quarterback in football next year, something like that, like a bit better than Russell Wilson.
Which he is every year of his career. That's what he is.
Exactly.
Kirk Cousins' top 12 quarterback, his official legal name. The other thing is, though, but it just feels like, as somebody who's studied Kirk Cousins a lot, you know, he was the Commanders quarterback.
And like a scholar of Cousins.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. PhD. No, but he is somebody that the way he's wired is like he wants as much money as possible. He is, it's important
guaranteed.
To him, guaranteed. Like, and so I think the Vikings, he's not giving a hometown discount. Like, I think he would be, I'm guessing, this is all speculation. I don't have any inside sources on this, but he would like to go back to the Vikings. If everyone offers him the same amount of money, he'd go back to the Vikings.
Right.
But if there's a team out there that's willing to break the bank for him and go pay more, he'll go to that team. Like, he's not giving the Vikings a hometown discount for whatever reason. Like, he's somebody that just wants every single dollar that he can get. And so, which is, you know, God bless. You know what I mean? There's, you know, certain quarterbacks are built differently, whatever. You know, Brady took a pay cut for many years in New England. So I think the Vikings are like, we like Kirk Cousins. We want Kirk Cousins back. We're not willing to pay $45, $50 million a year. We're not going to pay something crazy, crazy.
I don't think Arthur Blank will be outbid here, is my
takeaway. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yep. I also think there is a bit of a weird thing with Cousins and the Vikings where, you know, coming into this season and coming into the year prior as well, I think there was always the thought that, all right, new kind of coach, I think like Cousins probably move on from Cousins. He's not really part of the future. And then he just started playing really well and it kind of got awkward and then he gets hurt and just a strange sequence of events. But I think with the Falcons.
Like but that was the reason they hired Kevin O'Connell was because, like, I this part I do know from talking to people on the inside there is that when they were interviewing coaches, some coaches were like, you know, the one of the questions was, what do we do with Kirk?
Yeah.
And some of the coaches were like, we got to draft somebody. We got to start over. And Kevin O'Connell came in and said, I can win with Kirk. I had him in Washington.
Yeah,
I know
right.
him from Washington. I can win with Kirk. I will make Kirk work. Like, I want Kirk.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the reasons he got the job, is that was the answer they were hoping to get was, you know. But, yes, speculation in the press was,
yep, that he might not be part of the future. But, I mean, it seems like he was going to be based on the way he played this year. But if he ends up on the Falcons, they all, like, that is, I think, from a fantasy perspective, from a betting perspective, that is kind of the dream landing spot because
for
that team is loaded at the rest of the roster. And they almost made the playoffs and they were in the hunt for the division until the final day of the season with the bottom two quarterback production all year between what Ritter and Heinicke were giving them. Putting Kirk Cousins, if he is just 80% of the guy that he was last season. You've got last year the number 12 defense by EPA, awesome offensive line, Drake London, whatever Kyle Pitts can be, Bijan Robinson, who everyone is like,
he will be
of,
very good next year. Very good.
All of a sudden that team
I'd be back
loaded.
In on Kyle Pitts.
Right.
Yeah, I would
be
back in on Kyle Pitts in a huge way if Cousins is there as a quarterback. Drake London suddenly becomes, you know, a legit top 20-ish wide receiver as well, 1,000%. Yeah. And they become the easy favorites for the NFC South.
Yeah. They're already the favorites for the NFC South, and they would become even more favored. And also, maybe we can get DraftKings to set a market on Matthew Berry's Ride or Die, because if Kirk Cousins is there, Bijan Robinson, I think, goes pretty high to the top of the list. People have kind of forget that Bijan was like, Bijan was awesome last year when he was used.
Yeah,
it was a bit of a coaching issue there.
The talent hasn't gone anywhere.
Right.
Like, he's going to be a top five running back next season.
And they're one of the only teams, when I get ready for the draft and look at team needs on the offensive line, one of the only teams I think will roll into next year with the same five.
Yeah.
And it's a good five.
It is a good five.
So the Falcons' stock would be up on that. Just to recap, Cousins is currently the favorites go to Atlanta at minus 225. The Vikings are plus 150. Speaking of quarterbacks on the move, Justin Fields, guys, there's been really no buzz about this. So we were actually shocked in Indy how quiet it's been.
Well,
so
there was
far.
There was one viral video that went out that supposedly Justin Fields' manager posted, said, you know, that Fields was very excited, and you heard faintly in the background, "Get ready to go home," you know, something like that. And he's from the Atlanta area, right? And so that there was speculation that he was going to Atlanta.
Apparently, it's a very old video now.
Got it.
That's what Pete has informed me.
Debunked, exactly. Yes. Just goes to show you. That's why I didn't retweet it.
Yeah, but that's why you believe everything.
It's a great jump by you, Matthew.
Yeah.
It's a great jump by you.
I literally, when it came out, I said, we haven't proven this. I caveated the hell out of it the last time we talked.
We were at the Combine talking about this exact video.
Yeah, but so right. So it's exactly you're
like,
damn internet.
You're like Dustin Hoffman and All the President's Men.
Exactly
you're just kind of journalistic
that's
investigation.
That's exactly right.
I like that. That's your clarifier. Like, I'm not actually a journalist, so you can't hold anything I say against me. It's really good in this business.
We're going to get into that in a little bit.
Yes,
that's right. That's right. But like, I will just say this: I am absolutely not a journalist. I don't claim to be. There are people who are also not journalists, but they claim to be journalists.
Right.
I will just say that there are. But no, I am not. I'm not a journalist, and so yeah. I'm off the hook. Don't believe anything I say.
Where's Justin Fields going to go?
We're running out of. I mean, we're
Raiders.
But Getsy's there.
Yeah,
and that seemed like a disaster this year.
Steelers. Yeah, it feels like there is this weird kind of musical chairs of quarterbacks and who's going to end up with Russ and Fields and Cousins and someone's going to be left holding, the Mason Rudolph back.
Here's what's more interesting. Doesn't it feel like we're now trending with Fields that he's going to go somewhere where he's not guaranteed to be the starter?
Yeah.
Which in fantasy, for a guy that was QB9 last year, that is a massive, massive impact.
I mean, could he, if, I'm making it up. All right, Vikings, Russ goes to Pittsburgh. Vikings lose Kirk. He goes to Atlanta. Vikings decide to sign Baker Mayfield.
He's going back to Tampa. I
think he's going back to Tampa, but could Justin Fields wind up in either Minnesota or Tampa Bay if Baker goes to
Tampa
the Vikings?
Would be a sleeper. Tampa would be a sleeper, for sure. They'd have to lose Baker, which would be a huge shock. Especially with Evans back now. It feels like they have a plan.
I agree, but Baker, right. We talked to Baker Mayfield. I did the definitive Baker Mayfield interview along with Jake Croucher.
I was going to
say,
we did it.
You got
Baker had to
out.
Wait for me on the set.
You
like
had to run back from
and he wasn't
us
upset
getting
about
food.
It. Yeah,
I know.
We were getting Chunky Monkey acai bowls from the place in Vegas.
Well, you thought you were.
Yeah, we
got to call Jay. You got to hustle
back.
Anyway, so it was mostly me. I carried it, let's be clear, because you still had food on your mind. But you and I did the definitive Baker Mayfield interview.
It was an exploratory conversation.
Yeah, to be fair, Baker was sitting on my right, not yours, in the photo, which I cropped you out of.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, no one would know because you cropped me out of all the photos. But what Baker said to us, which I thought was, when we asked, like, hey, what are you looking for in free agency? He says, I want to win. Like, you know, like that was his biggest thing. I want to go where I've got the best chance to win. And obviously, if you kind of Brian Windhorst here for a second, but if Kirk Cousins goes to the Falcons and you're Baker Mayfield and you're sitting there going like, okay, wait a minute, my path to the NFC South just got a lot harder because with Cousins now in Atlanta to everything you just said, but Minnesota sitting there, I don't know, Detroit's in that division as well, and you know, and Green Bay's coming on too. That's a very tough division as well. But could you say, hey, I got a better shot throwing to Justin Jefferson and playing with the Vikings in a dome than I do staying in Tampa Bay when Dave Canales, the guy that helped resurrect my career, is now in Carolina.
Yeah. I think the thing with Baker is that
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah. He was, four teams in 12 months. He's finally got this stability. From our chat with him, he seemed like a guy who was ready to stick around in the Florida weather. I think his wife's about to have a kid.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's the other thing.
They're from Texas.
We asked him, like, there you go.
Oh,
not
what?
Crop.
I meant to crop you out. I'm sorry. I meant to crop you out.
I apologize for keeping you in the photo.
Yeah, that's a mistake. It was a strange smile there from Matthew Berry.
Well, that'd be a really good. That was a really good crop opportunity, too,
just
looking at the photo.
Yeah, no, there was some width. I'll
look at your Abby with you and Puka.
Yeah, me and Puka. Yeah, you guys know where to be seen. That's great.
Those are some good photos. Your children with your with Puka Nacua.
Yeah, Puka Nacua. He's my brother. He's better than my children.
Yeah, I agree.
Love Puka.
By the way, I agree. I like Puka more than your children.
You know what? I actually did a really good move there because Puka, he did that, and so we took two photos because Matthew was getting he would give his phone to Danielle and I would give my phone. So I'm like, no, I'm going to try both ways. I'm going to do this in one and not going to do it in the other. And then just sample it out. Yeah, just move. And then we went with the shucker.
You know what? I just, hey, can we get a photo, you know, for social, whatever. I'm thinking about the team, thinking about the content, everything like that. Jay's like, how can I F over Barry?
Yeah.
Exactly. You're much more conniving when it comes to that kind of stuff. Either way, to your point, though, Baker was talking to us off air about just like how his wife's about ready to have a baby. And I was just like, oh, where are you guys? He's like, we're heading back to Tampa. So, right. I mean, like, they live in Tampa. You know what I mean? Like, Some quarterbacks live somewhere else in the off season. You know what I mean? Like, I think he has houses elsewhere, but like Tampa's their home at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's the thing too, is that we think of these guys as like Madden players or whatever. Like, Baker's gonna have a newborn kid, and his wife, I'm sure, wants to stay in the area, and they have their like doctors there and everything. And you have to see doctors a lot when you have a newborn baby and
that
kind of stuff. I'm sure that all things being equal, he probably wants to be in Tampa.
All right, so moving on to another player where it's
we don't know where Justin Fields is going.
We have no idea. Truly, I know
he goes to the Giants.
Actually, I wouldn't mind that because at least he has upside.
Right, that actually makes more sense.
Let's make that happen. It's just be issue because he's going to get paid, and then Daniel Jones has got $200 million or whatever.
Right, you'd be the fifth year option when you have that on the books. Daniel Jones comes off
viable.
The books, so you're just constantly kicking money into quarterback.
Yeah,
but maybe it's not crazy.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
So we go to the Giants, Saquon Barkley, another player expected to be on the move.
What about New England? New England says, we'll take you taking Justin Fields, and then we're going to take Marvin Harrison at three.
What have you heard about New England at three? You think they're just going to take Jaden Daniels?
I've heard that's that pick out of the top three has the highest chance for a team to get into.
Okay.
Yeah. I heard it's far from a lock. It's not a lock that Jaden Daniels is there, by the way.
Commanders?
I think Jaden Daniels and Drake May is true 50-50 at number two.
Okay.
Wow.
So, okay. New England...
You think Caleb Williams is definite number
gone.
One?
Gone.
There's no way.
Gone. Yeah. He might even know it at this point.
Got it. Yeah. Right. Okay.
So...
Our man Chris Sims, who is running hot after calling CJ Stroud as the clear best guy last year, had Drake May as number six. His quarterback rankings.
Yeah, he did have number six.
Yeah,
Daniels number two. So,
yeah, I assume he had Caleb Williams at one.
Yep. Yes.
Who did he have at three? Did he have Bo Nix?
Bo Nix. Yeah, look, you knew that. Wow. You knew that before we even gave you the answer.
Then he had Michael Penix at four.
Michael Penix, JJ McCarthy. Drake May.
JJ McCarthy over Drake May. That's pretty cool. I like that Chris goes out on a limb.
Chris,
I have a friend that considers himself an amateur draft Nick. You know, like he really studies it. He's not you, but he's a very good bettor, and he actually does very well with NFL draft props. And him and I have a bet that Penix does not go in the first 50 picks. I said Penix does. He's like, no.
He could send the Venmo now to you.
Right. Yeah.
Michael Penix is going in the first 50 picks.
That's
he might
what
go
I
in
said.
The first 20 picks.
That's what I said to him. He's just like, no, he's a soft-throwing lefty. He goes once, and this is what my
Much
buddy
like
says.
Matthew Berry.
No, this isn't me. I'm just like, he's a, You know, anyway, I was
good money.
Like,
good for you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I wish you looped me in. I would have. I would have gone half and half with you to up to Annie.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. Well, Saquon Barkley.
So right, you think? Yeah,
The question with Penix is if he's going in the first round, how early? And the more I hear, he's going in the first round.
He's getting mocked like 11 some spots. So he's got in the top 50 picks. Yeah.
The medicals came back clean at the combine, which was his biggest question. Yeah.
So you just talked about the fact that Drake May and Jaden Daniels are basically 50-50 at number two, right? And so you're telling me, like, and everything I hear J.J. McCarthy is rising up teams' boards in a huge way. You're telling me Sims, who, you know, nails these things, Sims is saying, like, when I study the tape, Bo Nix is three, right?
He had him three.
He has him three. So you've got Nix and Penix there as well. How many quarterbacks go in the first round this year?
I think this number would be set at 4.5 because I think Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy are locks. I feel really good about Penix. The guy I'm not sure of is Bo Nix.
Okay.
I'm not positive Bo Nix goes in the first round.
Yep.
So, and to be fair to Chris was doing his evaluations.
Yeah.
With this conversation for me, it's what I'm gathering.
Sims is just looking at it from a talent standpoint.
Yes.
You're doing talent plus team need.
Right. Mock drafts for me is what I hear. My rankings is what I see.
Right, right.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
J.J. McCarthy seems like he has the widest range of outcomes of anyone.
Could
be.
It's like Will Levis last year.
Yeah. So McCarthy could go three or he could go into the first round.
Legitimately. Right? Yeah, yeah. Yes. Very Will Levis. He won't fall to the second round, I don't think, like Levis did. We're all shocked by.
Mm. Yeah.
But, yeah, that's where it is. Okay, so Saquon Barkley.
Who should my Commanders take at two? Who would you, if you say it's a 50-50 ball, but if you.
I would take Drake May.
Okay.
Now, there's a higher bust potential, but to me, the ceiling is much higher. I would take Drake May.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep.
It's going to be fascinating to see what they do.
Be fascinating. I will say that Drake May, tell me if you're wrong, but just in terms of the system that Kingsbury runs, Drake May is much more of a fit. You know, it feels like than Jaden Daniels.
I think both of them would be fine.
Would they?
Yeah, okay. Well, what Jaden was asked to do at LSU, not Arizona State, they'd be fine. Yeah, but you are building more of a running offense with Jaden Daniels because he is a legitimate runner.
Oh, sure.
So, but Drake May can run.
Yep. Jaden Daniels had significantly more talent around, and also just the scramble percentage, the amount of times that he would abandon the pocket. Those seem like bigger red flags than anything.
Older Drake prospect, going, which old is prospect fine, too. Which is fine. But his
nothing
two
wrong,
wide receivers are going.
Old.
They'll go in the top. They'll go in the top 15. His two wide receivers.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is good living.
Yep. Well done, Jaden.
Which is good living. I remember. I forget who put this out on Twitter. I apologize, but somebody, there was some graphic out there that was just like comparing Jaden Daniels' senior year to Lamar Jackson's senior year, and you know, somebody quote tweeted that and said, "Yeah, here's all the no names that Lamar Jackson was throwing to.
You can't name a player,
right? Not one of them made the NFL.
You can't
I think
name
none
a
of those
player
Louisville
from his
guys,
offense.
Right? Yeah. No one did. And obviously LSU is going to have, to your point,
top 15 picks,
right? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Lamar was a more refined passer, right, than Jaden, or is that not
they're
a
just
fair
different?
Yeah.
Jaden's a more touch thrower. Yeah. Lamar could really throw a missile, but." Coming out, he wasn't as accurate. He's gotten a lot more accurate in the NFL. Nobody touches Lamar Jackson as a runner. I cannot emphasize this. It blows my mind that this is a conversation now that everyone's having. It was like, okay, Michael Vick, fast forward a million years, Lamar Jackson.
Right.
I don't know if we'll ever see another quarterback that runs like that.
No.
And Jaden is gifted, but that is just a tier out of this world.
Yeah.
Out of this world.
Particularly the 2019 season when he won MVP unanimously. It's like this guy's playing a different sport to everyone. Like the running in Cincinnati, that's not going to be replicated.
And same thing. I mean, that I think it was 2010, that first year for Vic in Philadelphia, where it was just
insane.
It was unbelievable.
It's your Commanders, right? Five touchdowns? Yeah.
I believe six because I believe he ran one in.
Okay.
Right? I think he threw five and ran one.
I watched the highlights of that the other day just randomly.
That's one of the best games to go back and look at ever.
I was at that game. Like, I took my ESPN. That was a Monday Night Football game. ESPN had the game, so I could actually go because usually we're on Sunday, you know, Sunday up until 1 o'clock, and so then you're watching all those games. And so Monday Night game, Washington, it was early in the season, so I took my kid. I took like my 12-year-old and a good friend of mine who's an Eagles fan and his kid. Our kids were friends, so I got us tickets through ESPN, and we had like, you know, nice seats, and I'm all excited. It's Monday Night Football, Eagles. You know, Washington, and then, like, literally, like, three plays in.
The
play
action bomb.
The 90 yards, and I'm just like, oh.
We're doomed.
And, you're going to have to bleep that. Sorry, Pete. They got me mouthing the F word there. But, I mean, like, But that's what it was. It was just kind of like, you know, and like, we're not live. It's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, Saquon Barkley, another veteran, expect to be on the move. The Giants did not franchise
tag. That was a long game for me, is all I'm saying. It was a long game for me and my kid.
Yeah. Jay, are we crushed as a Giants fan? And Saquon Barkley not franchise tagged once again?
No, I think it's the right move.
Yeah.
It's like, again.
For both sides, maybe, in this one?
I think so. I think if Saquon, for him, if he wound up on the Texans or a team like that, that's better for his career outlook than the Giants. And all these, like Russell Wilson, Saquon coming back, these are things that inch the Giants' win total from 6 towards 7 towards 8. Like, the team needs to strip it down.
Yes.
And the Daniel Jones contract is kind of hanging around the franchise's neck, but at the same time, like, they'll be able to move on from that at a point. And then hopefully they'll probably draft a wide receiver at 6, I imagine, Connor.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's worth
between Neighbors or Odunze who's there. I think everyone's ready to move on in the Saquon department.
It's a luxury that the team does not need this stage. And like, I wrote this in my column out on NBCSports.com, RotoWorld.com right now. 25 most interesting things I heard at the combine. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But one of the things I heard at the combine, which I thought was like, no, they're not going to franchise him. They're going to release him, which is what I wrote and which is what happened. But they're like, listen, they didn't want to pay him last year when they thought they were good.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I mean, they were coming off a playoff win. And they still didn't want to franchise him. And ultimately, they didn't want to pay him. They franchised him, and they gave him a little bit of a bump to save face. But, like, it's not – running backs, unfortunately, are a commodity in the NFL. And because the free agent class this year is deeper than ever, and the Giants don't need a star running back for a team that, you know, needs to rebuild.
Yeah.
Poor use of resources.
If you have Saquon Barkley or Gary Brightwell, what's the difference for this year? What's the difference?
That's
you probably might be better off with Gary Brightwell because you're worse, and then you get a higher draft pick.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Bring back Matt Breida.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA, and this season new customers deposit $5 and get a bonus bet back up to $1,000 if your first bet doesn't hit. Download the app and use promo code BERRY when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook,
the crown is yours! Crown is yours. Who's the crown? It's yours.
Let's jump into the RotoWorld player news. For all your player news, go to NBCSports.com. Let's take a look at the 2024 franchise tagged players. One player on this list rewarded with a new deal. The Bears' Jalen Johnson, one of the top corners in the league, signed a 4-year extension. A lot of wide receivers being tagged. Michael Pittman Jr., a big one. Of course, we've talked about T. Higgins. Calvin Ridley not tagged by Jacksonville, probably the biggest name on the market. While Mike Evans doesn't get to the market, the Bucs re-sign him to a 2-year contract. So looking at this wide receiver market, fellas, Matthew, it feels like this actually bodes well for Calvin Ridley, as all of these other guys were kept off of the market, his price tag goes up.
1,000%. That's the thing, right? I mean, with Evans and Pittman off the board, and Higgins re-signed as well, like there's rumors that maybe he gets traded, but still... The fact of the matter is that if you want an elite veteran wide receiver, it's a deep rookie class,
it's
obviously.
It's him.
I mean, we'll see what happens if Keenan Allen or Mike Williams with the Chargers. Like, there's some other guys, but, like, feels like he's the top of the list, and this was all, you know, very lucky for Calvin Ridley. It's weird. I talked to Doug Peterson at the Combine, and he was emphatic. We want Calvin back, but for whatever reason, they didn't franchise him. They'll make a play for him, but... If I'm Calvin Ridley's agent, you know, trying to make up for lost time, he feels like, you know, he's gonna have a lot of offers.
Yeah, weird season for Calvin Ridley. Kind of felt a little underwhelming overall just because it was inconsistent, looked great at the start of the year. I think it's colored a bit too by, like, his final moment, potentially as a Jag, is the season basically coming off his hands in the final game against Tennessee where he just misses connecting with Lawrence on the long bomb. But I think there was enough there that he is going to get paid. It was also just a weird year in Jacksonville. Like, Lawrence was never right physically, which obviously impacts Ridley a ton. So I think... And also, people forget, like, he didn't play football for, like, 3 years.
Right.
So he's coming back. So I think there's enough there.
He showed he still has the explosiveness. Yeah. He still has the route running. And to your point about the inconsistency, 6 different games with 20 or more fantasy points last year, 9 games under 10 fantasy points. So it was just really up and down. But to your point, given the lack of other viable free agents, And there's enough there on the tape that you can sort of, you can talk, there will be a team that talks itself into Calvin Ridley paying him a lot of money.
Yeah, he'll get probably upwards of $50 million guaranteed. With Ridley, one thing to know, if Jacksonville finds a way to get an extension done with him, that one of the picks that they traded to Atlanta would increase to a second round pick. So that is another key figure there. Jacksonville has to weigh, we're going to pay Calvin Ridley $50-plus guaranteed million dollars and lose a second-rounder, or do we just use that second-rounder on one of the greatest wide receiver classes we've ever seen? That's a gamble. It's a gamble, but it's one they might
be doing. They have Christian Kirk. They have Evan Ingram in their, you know, in their passing game. Like, they feel good about where they are passing-wise, and so we'll see.
All right, as we said, Mike Evans back to the Bucs. Not a shock here. He is the first player in NFL history to begin his career with 10 straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Jason Light and the Bucs, Jay, clearly interested in keeping that going in Tampa for Mike Evans, which might be a signal that Baker Mayfield will ultimately be back.
Yeah, I think so. And Mike Evans has kind of become the epitome of a guy that you draft in fantasy leagues and you're not super excited. It's not a sexy pick. It's Mike Evans. You know exactly what he's going to do. It's going to be 1,200 yards, 10, 11 touchdowns, but he just does the same thing like clockwork. He's become almost just the most reliable receiver in the league in terms of you know exactly what you're going to get out of him every year if he's healthy.
Yeah, 1,000%, by the way. You know, and by the way, he was a top 10 wide receiver on a points per game basis last year in fantasy. In terms of what he does this upcoming year, assuming Baker's back, he's right there, you know, right there, you know, as a top 15-ish guy. But good for Mike Evans, good for the Buccaneers. One of the best that ever do it.
A couple of tight end contracts. The Texans re-signed Dalton Schultz to a three-year contract. He was one of four tight ends with 550-plus receiving yards in each of the last four seasons. Him, Kelsey, Kittle, Hockenson. Hunter Henry, right before we got on, guys, he's back with the Patriots on a three-year, $27 million deal. And Jonnu Smith will sign a two-year deal with the Dolphins after being cut by the Falcons last week, Matthew.
That, to me, is the most interesting one. Like, I'm glad Dalton Schultz is back with the Texans. He was productive last year. He should be. Like, they have a bunch of young guys as well, so why not keep the veteran tight end for C.J. Stroud? He was tight end 11 on a points-per-game basis. That's about right. You know, I think he's a top 12-ish guy. Like, if you punt on tight end early in your draft, Dalton Schultz is a guy that you can get in the mid to late rounds. He'll be fine. He's fine on a weekly basis as well. Same with Hunter Henry, who was one of the few bright spots of an otherwise dismal Patriots offense last year. We'll see, we'll see what happens with their, you know, if Mac Jones is going to be their quarterback or whatever. But Hunter Henry is another guy who's, you know, I thought that was a good signing by the Patriots. But Jonnu Smith, who for a tight end of his size, is pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
really
like,
fast.
He can move. And so, I mean, like, we talked about this in terms of how many snaps Durham Smythe played last year for the Dolphins. Now, he didn't do much with them. But them signing Jonnu Smith, who is an athletic tight end, who is fast, he fits into the Dolphins' mold of speed, 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 speed. So the starting tight end of one of the better offenses in football suddenly becomes kind of interesting as a sleeper.
Yep. Interesting as well in terms of the place that he left, where Kyle Pitts' usage is now even more uncluttered. He should have, he will almost certainly have a better quarterback situation, whoever comes in. Do you think Connor's anything left with Kyle Pitts? Which is weird to say because he's barely been in the league, but I mean, where he's come from.
Well, I think number one, the usage for every great player or talent from Arthur Smith was puzzling. And that's, and jokes aside, being serious, like you trickle down to Bijan Robinson, who's one of the best running back prospects we've evaluated. So that alone gives you hope. Once again, also the fact that, yes, you got a tight end that was in his way at times out of the way. That's big, too. And then the Falcons don't have a number two wide receiver right now.
Yeah.
So if they don't get that surefire guy, and they need a guy that could stretch the field, the targets are
Is
there.
Is he just physically kind of shot, though, Pitts, with the injuries that he's dealt with since he's come into the
league?
He
doesn't look as smooth as you would expect. It's not the straight line speed. It's the change of direction that's been very, very shocking.
We're going to make a joke, Matthew.
Yeah, I was just going to say, cut to Alameda Zacchaeus watching this at home going, what the hell, Connor? What the hell? What am I? Chopping
what did
over
I do
here?
To you?
What did I do to you? What's
Oops,
for
I'm
you?
Whoops.
Speaking I just of, wanted to brag that I could pronounce Alameda Zacchaeus.
It was good. Speaking of wide receivers in that mold, the Rams re-signed DeMarcus Robinson to a one-year deal, which is he had a great
He did. This is a sneaky good signing.
Yeah, he's a monster.
He was a big-time factor in that offense down the stretch.
13 or more fantasy points in each of his last five games in the season, not counting that Week 18 game where they all took it off. Eight end zone targets over that stretch. Really seemed to find something with Matthew Stafford. DeMarcus Robinson is a guy that, when he has gotten an opportunity, has produced. Like, it just, he hasn't always gotten it. You know, Baltimore, he was in and out of the lineup, but, again, seems to have found his way to a role in the Rams, as so many teams were concentrated on Kupp and Nacua. Robinson would get deep for stuff, and you know, was good during the playoff game against the Lions as well.
Yep. The Ravens re-sign wide receiver Nelson Aguilar to a one-year contract, and Jay, I hate to tell you this one, although you already know, the Saints will release Michael Thomas.
What? They released
small
him?
Small violin.
Maybe he comes to my Giants.
His Twitter is a wild ride right now.
His Twitter is wild ride. I'll just say this. While he may not be on the Saints, he's still on Jay's fantasy team. Jay has not released
him. He's your keeper for next year.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
We don't even do keepers, but we'll make an exception for you.
I'll keep him over Christian McCaffrey or something. Also, he hasn't left my heart either. Michael Thomas, he will forever stay there.
All right, well, that's one person at the desk. The Vikings.
Quick question for you.
Yes, Matthew.
All right. You're on a ship, and you have you only have three life jackets, and suddenly the ship is sinking, okay? And on the ship are your three children, your wife, Michael Thomas and Puka Nacua. Who gets the three life jackets?
All right, well, let's do the two easy ones. my oldest child, Ella, and Michael Thomas.
Okay.
They're the first two, and they would have to choose between Puka and the baby. Yeah, Remy's out.
So your wife wasn't even under consideration.
No, she's going to go. She can't.
And Remy.
She can't run routes, and she's not a child, so she's out.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, you know, the other thing is that in theory, right, like, she's probably not going to go dump into the water to save Puka Nacua. Mm. But Remy, like, you got a shot and save, you know.
That's fair.
Right. She'll jump into the water and do whatever she can to save Remy. Yep. So
the issue is would if I threw Remy to Michael Thomas, would he stay healthy long enough to catch
it?
That's the things we got to get.
That's a good question. that was really good. All right.
Good question.
I think you don't save Puka because he was maybe the nicest person we met during Super Bowl week and the best athlete. So he would be the best person to save people.
Probably could say, he would probably save people.
He would save people.
He would probably take off the life jacket and put it on your wife or one of your children.
Decent person, Puka Nacua. Yeah.
All right.
High on the decency.
Surprised, by the way, that the two of you got along so well, given how decent he is.
Yes,
and how you are not.
My firm position against decency.
Yes. All right, the Vikings cut Alexander Mattison. Kevin O'Connell said, I feel good about what we can build on specifically with Ty Chandler as we take a look at Mattison versus Ty Chandler last season. I mean, Matthew, it felt like every week towards the second half of the season we were asking for more Ty Chandler and less Alexander Mattison.
At Kevin O'Connell's press conference, I asked him directly about his running back room next year, and the first guy he mentioned and the last guy he mentioned was Ty Chandler. In the middle there, he did a little bit of coach speak. You know, Alex did some nice things for us. Maybe not necessarily numbers, but when you watch the cut-ups, you know, a block here or there. Like, he's, you know, and so I was a little surprised that they released him. But, I mean, I tweeted this out before the release. Just, like, here's Kevin O'Connell's answer. You can tell Ty Chandler is the Vikings running back you want. He was very effusive in his praise of Ty Chandler.
Yep.
They'll bring in somebody else.
They'll draft someone.
They'll draft somebody or they'll sign a veteran. But, you know, as we stand here today, Ty Chandler is, you know, the Vikings running back you want. And especially if Cousins leaves, like, you know, they might have to lean on the run game more next year. The other thing is like, who are the two running backs that had the most touches without a touchdown last year? I think it was Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. Like, felt like
Tony Pollard too often, but I know he actually did score.
It feels like Mattison gets like a 1 year, you know, $2 million backup deal somewhere, right?
And then week 7 waiver wires, we're like, all right, $30 a fab.
Yeah.
You might need this one.
Feels like he's on the Panthers or something. That ilk. Yeah.
Just like the Packers to replace A.J. Dillon, you know, something like that. Like he's,
All right. It's not often we talk about offensive linemen on the show, but Jason Kelce, one of the true greats, retired from the NFL after 13 seasons. And guys, there is a fantasy trickle effect of this because Kelce, the driving force of the tush push for Jalen Hurts' touchdowns.
For my ride or die, there's no question about it. Like that's because we've seen other teams attempt that and they're not nearly as successful as the Eagles are, who were so good at that play day in, day out as well. Hurts has, in 3 years as a starter, Jalen Hurts has 21 rushing touchdowns as a quarterback on sneaks. Just, you know, not like running in from the five or something like that. 21 rushing touchdowns on QB sneaks. That is 15 more than any other player. You see it there on your screen. 15 more than Josh Allen. 16 more than Trevor Lawrence. I just did that math in my head. Don't want to brag, but literally
impressive.
Just did that in my head. You would certainly project lower numbers for that because Kelce was a big part of being able to, you know, improve that able to do that play.
Yep. I think it's going to be interesting. Like, you'd rather have Jason Kelce in the league, all things considered, because he's such a great player and such a compelling character. But at least now we get like a proof point of like how much the tush-push was the fact that, you know, Jalen Hurts can squat 600 or whatever, right. And that was a big part of it, or Jason Kelce. It was also, it was weird. It felt like it was only in the playoffs where the Tampa Bay or any team realized how to stop it, where everyone was going high over the top, so that's not going to work. You have to get low underneath Kelce. That's what Vita Vea was able to do. So, I don't know. I would assume that that's going to be a big part of their offense still because of Hurts and because other teams are able to do it too, but you would figure it's going to be a bit less effective.
I mean, Hurts is still a very big guy, very tough guy. They're not going to go away from it, you know what I mean? But it's certainly a downgrade, I would think. You also hope that maybe he doesn't have as many cheap rushing touchdowns, that fully healthy, maybe he gets back to running a little bit more, that the passing offense is a little bit more consistent because of the change in coordinator, Kellen Moore now there as the offensive coordinator. But certainly, much respect to Jason Kelce on a great career, to your point. Awesome player, awesome personality. He looks like a career in media is next for him. Rumors are that NBC is one of the places that he has met. We would welcome Jason Kelce with open arms if he ends up
choosing. He might be right here.
It'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Or right there.
Right.
I mean, I like you.
Okay.
I'm just, you know.
Crouch for Kelce.
Ooh, man. We might have to throw in a conditional.
Seems lopsided.
Yeah.
We're having to sweeten the pot for that one. Sorry.
I'll go hang out with Russell Wilson on the vet minimum.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
You're the Giants, right. Russell Wilson.
The Giants' first half total is, 13.5. Yeah. What are we thinking?
Yeah.
All right, so Jalen Hurts loses his center and apparently also lost his goatee. A shaved face for Jalen Hurts. Who is this?
Oh, I don't like that. I haven't seen that image before. That's terrifying. We need to bring that back.
He looks like an entirely different person.
So different.
I think he could walk around Philadelphia and not get recognized.
He looks like the comedian Kumail Nanjiani from Silicon Valley. I don't know what's going on with this look, but no, he needs to bring the goatee back. Although I'm all for changes. I'm all for particularly coming off a bad season, do something new. But don't do that. Don't do that.
That's bad.
Who is he posing with in that photo?
It looked like a doctor posted that.
A doctor,
a medical team.
A medical team.
Yeah.
Did they surgically remove the goatee?
I don't know. That's what I don't understand.
I like
celebrate
their removal
of the goatee.
That's good.
Just had a colonoscopy. These guys are the best. Why is he taking that picture?
I think
the doctors posted it.
What are you guys going to say, goatee?
Posted it. He's a dentist.
Oh, it's a dentist. Oh. All right, there you go.
Do Americans not say goatee?
What? Goatee.
Oh.
Goatee.
That might be on me. I don't want to say all of Australians say goatee, but I've been saying that my entire life.
It's goatee.
I like that you just make it just straight through.
Yeah. No, I'm going to keep rolling with it.
The no two syllables.
Oh, it stays.
It's the goatee. I might ride with that. Yeah. All right, opening day is right around the corner.
It's book parade day. Let's go.
You can get your Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide now. Visit NBCSports.com/draftguide and use code BASEBALL24 to get 10% off. And next Thursday at 8 p.m., we're having our fantasy baseball mock draft show, which, yes, I will be a part of. You can watch it live at youtube.com/NBC Sports. All right, Matthew.
Will you be just taking nothing but Mets?
No, I'll take it seriously.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I am an avid fantasy baseball player.
Are you really?
You're taking Brandon Nimmo over Ronald Acuna. Yeah.
Well, Acuna's only got one knee now, apparently. No, I'm just kidding. I will take it seriously for the sake of Roto World.
There you go. Great.
Matthew, you spent many days in Indy,
as did I,
and Jay, you spent two, to be precise.
Yeah,
with that comes a lot of rumors, a lot of cold ones late at night.
Yeah,
with rumors.
So here's the thing: I've done this column for years and years and years and years, and I always it's a rumors column. It's literally I will late at night at bars or at restaurants or in hallways or whatever. I'll talk to sources and say, "Hey, what have you heard?" That kind of stuff. And I've been going enough years that I've, developed a nice network and people, I'm hearing this, I'm hearing that. And so I always write an article, and you can read the article now. It's up on rotoworld.com, 25 most interesting things I heard at the combine. But in the column, what I do is I say, listen, I am not a journalist. I am not reporting any of this. I haven't confirmed any of these rumors. I haven't double checked it. I'm telling you, these are rumors, and a lot of times I get it right. I was the first guy that had Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers. Like, that was in my column 3 years ago at a time when everyone thought, oh, Brady's going back to the Patriots, or if he leaves, it might be the Raiders. Like, I was just like, actually, I'm hearing Tampa Bay of all places. On the other hand, by the way, like, so I've nailed these things, right? You know, I've last year I had, hey, Russell Wilson's on a one-year deal. Like, don't be surprised if it gets released in a year. And sure enough, that happens, right? On the other hand, I also, in last year's column, had Matthew Stafford retiring. So I get, like, it's rumors. It's like, it's all rumors.
But you're not a journalist.
I'm yeah. not a journalist.
So you can't lose. You can only
also,
win.
Also, you keep trying to force guys into retirement. Last year was Stafford. This year is Travis Kelce. I wonder who's going to be next. We'll yeah. push,
you Kirk, Croucher.
Kirk Cousins, yeah. Croucher, Kirk Cousins, yeah. maybe. Who knows? Could be yeah. anyone.
And so anyway, I'm just like, but I caveat the hell out of it, right? Like, again, I'm not reporting this as news. These are all just rumors. No idea if this will, some of them will turn out right. Some of them will be massively bad misses. This is the gossip I heard, literally gossip. So, but what happens is that aggregators take all this stuff. Literally, I got a headline. I took a picture of it, the other day. This is like, it was, unbelievable.
Don't give the account. Credit
what
on the show.
No, I'm not gonna. I won't.
They're all
the,
bad.
They're all terrible. But here was what it was. The headline was brutal cut. NFL Pro Bowler who has made $48 million in career earnings wakes up unemployed after cut as fans say, quote, there's no RBs left. And then it says the Cincinnati Bengals are expected to. So first off, Joe Mixon still has a job. Here's what I wrote. What I actually wrote was after I wrote, hey, I'm not a journalist, blah blah blah. I wrote, I heard that the Bengals will also release Joe Mixon. And then I put in parentheses, evergreen sentence, shrug emoji. Because like that's been the rumor for three straight years.
Right. Yep.
So like that's what I wrote, clearly indicating that I have no idea. Shrug emoji is this, right? Thank you. Oh. So, okay, there you go, the shrug emoji. So anyway, this site says, first off, they've got him cut. Brutal cut. NFL pro who's made $48 million in career earnings wakes up unemployed.
So visceral.
No,
the imagery.
And then so that's the headline. And then the article reads, the Cincinnati Bengals are expected to release Pro Bowl running back Joe Mixon, NFL insider Matthew Berry. Not an insider.
Definitely not.
Not an insider. Reported, didn't report, on some of the most interesting things he heard at the NFL Combine, one of which was being the status of Joe Mixon. Again, heard that gossip. I've heard it for three straight years. I literally made a reference to the fact that it's been wrong for three straight years. Like, every year they're going to release Joe Mixon. Every year Joe Mixon plays for the Bengals. Evergreen sentence, shrug emoji. Anyway, aggregators are out of control.
They are.
Is my point.
There's no denying that.
And as of now, as of this taping, Joe Mixon still has a job. Nameless online publication.
No.
He did not wake up unemployed.
What a weird community. I just wonder, these people having, like, kids. But what are you going to do today, Dad? Well, I'm going to aggregate.
Aggregate. As quick as I can. Notifications on for everything.
Yeah,
exactly. Just I'm going to take headlines and take them out of context and just try to push it out to generate clicks.
Doing God's work.
So a more positive running back one here, Matthew. Brian Robinson potentially in for a pretty big fantasy season.
He's going to have a monster year. I'll say this right now. He's in consideration for ride or die.
Really?
Wow.
That would be really going out on a limb.
Yeah.
That's a much deeper cut than you would typically go.
Yeah. He's in the consideration. Here's the thing. So I interviewed Dan Quinn. We played on the last show. But he just kept talking about how much he likes the physical running style of Brian Robinson. He likes the idea of, like, hey, 4 minutes left in the game, I know I can give it to this guy, and they're not getting the ball back. And so when you think about how good Brian Robinson is at the goal line, and you think about what Cliff Kingsbury did as a head coach in Arizona. He's now the coordinator, obviously, and will be calling the offense for Washington. Arizona, in two of Kingsbury's four seasons, Arizona was top six in running back goal line carries. Kenyon Drake, who has no business being a goal line back, Connor Rogers.
They figured it out, though.
Kenyon Drake literally was tied for the most goal line carries, the most goal-to-go carries in the NFL in 2020. James Conner, of course, second in goal-to-go carries in 2021. Kingsbury likes to run when they get in close, and now you've got a guy in Brian Robinson who is just a hammer at the goal line, really tough runner, 2 years now removed from the crazy gun wounds. And so Dan Quinn, who just loves the makeup of this character, and I do as well, obviously. You guys know I love B-Rob. So Brian Robinson is going to have a big fantasy year. People are going to be shocked about that, especially because, by the way, there's no guarantee Antonio Gibson is back. It might be just Brian Robinson like Chris Rodriguez.
Yep.
I think the thing with Brian Robinson too is that people think of him as just your prototypical first, second down back, like a Gus Edwards archetype. Like, I know he doesn't have the history as a receiver, at least what he's shown in the NFL, but like he has shown flashes where he could be used more as a receiver. So I think there's some untapped upside there.
And I do think that whoever, I think the Commanders under Adam Peters will certainly address the offensive line, which is a massive area of need for the team. So I think the offensive line will be improved next year. And by the way, like, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May, in theory, we should have better quarterback play.
Yep.
So the offense will be more efficient.
So two guys that there, you know, there could be eyes on their workload next year. Travis Kelce, of course, being the first one. And then Travis Etienne, I think, is the more notable one. Because Andy Reid's been pretty public. He was very public with you about Kelce. I think Etienne would be a pretty big surprise, but they don't really have that number two running back right now.
No, they don't. Just real quickly, you know, Andy Reid, when I interviewed him on camera, we you can see that on the NFL and NBC YouTube channel, but like Kelce's 77% percentage of snaps last year was his lowest rate since 2014. And we asked Andy, was that by design? And he said, yes, we want to keep him healthy. He's getting older. We need him for the playoffs. So obviously they're a team that's going for the three-peat. So I would expect that to be as well. Travis Kelce ended up averaging under 15 fantasy points per game, just 14.6. It was his fewest total since 2016. So, you know, again, Travis Kelce not my number one tight end in fantasy next year as a result of this. Like, he's still going to be an elite option. What?
Laporta?
Laporta.
That's Laporta's my guy. The trendy thing in best ball drafts right now.
Maybe go back to the well on a Lions ride or die. I was looking at their schedule again. Very heavy dome schedule for the Lions again. So I suspect that they're going to be fantasy.
Laporta's in the mix too. And then to your point about Travis Etienne, so I asked Coach Doug Peterson on camera again, like, hey, Etienne had 325 touches last year. That was third most of any running back. You have traditionally been, when he was in Philadelphia and when he first got to Jacksonville, a running back by committee guy. So was it just because Etienne is so awesome that you wanted him out there all the time, or you just didn't feel like you had anyone? And it felt like he said we want to lower his workload. He said it in a very nice way, but, you know, he's like, Tank Bigsby was a rookie and still finding his way. And, like, Tank Bigsby was bad last year.
He had some atrocious mistakes as well. That one fumble play.
That was his problem in college, too, by the way. So that's not a good sign.
Yeah. I think of Doug Peterson, I think of Ryan Matthews and J.J., my namesake, times two,
J.J.
by the way. That's two
J.J.
Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
Remember, you know, I mean, like, he was mixing them all in, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just think Etienne's still going to be an RB1 in fantasy, but yes, I would expect a lower workload, and I would expect either Tank Bigsby needs to make a lot of improvements, or the Jaguars are going to address some depth, whether it's in free agency or the draft.
A guy that we all wanted to see even more of last year and can't wait to see this year, how about Tajay Spears, the mid-round pick out of Tulane that when he got the ball for the Titans, he looked really good.
That was a question of Rand Carthon, their general manager, at his press conference about if Derrick Henry does move on, is Tajay Spears kind of a number one guy? And you can go and read the quote.
Yeah,
there.
Rand had a really interesting quote on this. He said, you know, I know there were a lot of concerns about his knee coming out, and that was the big question this time of year and after we drafted, but we're talking about a guy that never missed a practice, never missed a game, and he's, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, he's made of the right shit, you know, and there are the type of guys that we want to have in our program.
I just wanted someone else to cuss on the show other than me.
It's in the quote.
That's what Rand said.
Rand's
agree with
a good
that,
quote.
By the way. I mean, I just... Like, Tajay is, like, he was more explosive last year. You know what I mean? Like, when you watch the games, you know, Henry's still Henry, you know, King Henry. But, like, Spears felt, like, more explosive and more versatile. Like, really good in the passing game.
Yes.
Could clearly go between the tackles. And so, you know, it'll be interesting what they do. And Callahan, I think, you know, talked about wanting to use multiple running backs. But I do think Tajay Spears is going to be a viable top 20 guy, assuming Derrick Henry goes to another team, which is the assumption right now.
All right, so the last bit of running back buzz here, Matthew, on the Browns, when you got to talk to Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, so I talked to Coach Stefanski. I asked him specifically about his running back room. Let's take a listen.
Nick is a guy that I get to see every day. He's working out, sometimes working out twice a day. So we'll make sure that we are smart with his recovery. That's something that, you know, you got to be really smart with how you how you push it, what he does, but because you're going to have to slow Nick down just based on how he works. But, yeah, I mean, we feel strong about Nick.
Obviously, we'll see what happens with Nick, but the expectation is probably, if nothing else, Jerome's your third down guy next year and maybe an expanded role depending on Nick's availability.
Of course, and that's all that is so much. We have to see how it all plays out. But I'm excited about Jerome. Based on this season, because again, it was really his first exposure, and I thought he did some nice things, and he's a young player that can get better.
Well, Coach of the Year winner, Kevin Stefanski, thank you so much for joining me.
I appreciate you.
There you go, Kevin Stefanski. He appreciates me. Nothing. It was great. Appreciate that. All right. So a couple things here. First up, by the way, just going back to the combine column. If you go back and read my combine column from last year, at the time, a year ago at this time, D'Ernest Johnson was expected to be the backup to Nick Chubb. And in that column was just like, they actually really like Jerome Ford. It's going to be Jerome Ford, believe it or not, not D'Ernest Johnson, which obviously ended up becoming true. Clearly the answer that we were talking about was I asked him about Nick Chubb's recovery, asked him about Jerome Ford. And so it looks like, you know, we expect whenever Nick Chubb is back, he will be Nick Chubb in that offense and Jerome Ford will be the guy. All right. So here's the part you didn't see. I had, with Coach Stefanski, I have to set this up properly. All right, so the way it works at the Combine is that you ask, you know, hey, will you come on our show? Like, and so we're not just, it's not just NBC there, right? But it's also, it's SiriusXM, it's, you know, CBS, it's right. NFL Network, it's ESPN, it's like all the, you know, different media outlets, not to mention, specifically to the Browns, the Cleveland Brown, you know, Cleveland Plain Dealer, and like, you know, their flagship radio station,
yes.
And so these coaches and general managers come in, and there's a million different requests. And in the case of NBC, we also have Pro Football Talk there. So, again, you know, a lot of times teams won't want to, you know, have a guy talk on two shows on NBC. Anyway.
It's so, double dipping.
Right, exactly. You know, so which is one of the reasons why we didn't get some shows, some guys, because they were on Pro Football Talk. Okay, fine. So, but I know the PR director of the Browns. And Stefanski was walking around doing all those different things. And I'm like, hey, do you think we could grab Coach? And he goes, I don't know. We've got a lot of demands, but I'll try to help you out, you know. And so I'm like, okay. And so I come back to the pod where we're all sort of waiting. And he says, he's going to try, but it's probably not. So I tell backup producer Pete, who's like, probably not going to happen, right? And so all of a sudden, like out of the blue, so it's like 20 minutes later, we're just sort of sitting around. And then all of a sudden I get a text. Bringing Coach by in 2 minutes. Oh, okay. So now we're like suddenly scrambling, like, and I'm trying to think, okay, I want to ask him about, you know, Chubb and Watson's, you know, recovery, and I want to ask about Cedric Tillman. I asked about Cedric
nice.
Tillman.
Thank you for that.
And, you know, and we talked about Njoku, and, you know, so it was a really good interview. Like, I'm just trying to think. But I don't know if you remember NFL Awards night, where Jay was.
Slips my mind.
Yeah, Jay was. We had so much talk about how Joe Flacco won and DeMar Hamlin didn't, and just, you know, the wrong guys won and all these different things. And so this is one of the most embarrassing moments I have as a broadcaster. I have a complete brain fart. Again, I'm so scrambled trying to think of stuff for Stefanski.
Well, you're not a journalist. Yeah. So
I'm also not a journalist.
So
I learned a lot of different things at the Combine, and including this. This is so humiliating. Watch this. This is what is on the...
Coach of the Year candidate, probably should have won, but division champs, good luck next year.
Yes. Yeah, should I tell him?
I thought Ryan's won. Did I f*** up?
Is there an editing button?
You can say it. No. No, it's taped, but I thought Ryan's won. And I was like, I was pissed because you should have won.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Is there an editing button?
Right. How? By the way, so a couple of things. First off, how sweet is Stefanski?
Yeah. Too nice.
Right. So Stefanski, unbelievably kind, who, like, you know, just like.
How did you intro him? Because that was the outro.
The same way. This is what's amazing. This is why Stefanski's the best, because he just let it go. He just let it go. I think I just said something like, you know, hey, you know, one of the, you know, go. I think I said something to the effect of like going into the postseason. It was you and D'Amico Ryans for Coach of the Year. Great job. Like, it was sort of more generic. Yeah. Like, the way I should have introduced him, obviously, is NFL Coach of the Year, Kev Stefanski.
Right, that's why I asked.
It was more generic in how I – so it wasn't totally – he probably wasn't, like, I think he, but you know, like, so, but Stefanski goes through the whole interview. He's great. He's super candid. He gives me great answers. He talks about Elijah Moore as well, his expanded role and what he expects for next year. He's great. And then I end it like that. And he's like, again, he's so sweet. And I'm such a moron.
Should I tell?
I just had a brain fart that I just, whatever reason.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Look at Barry.
That is. That's in the Hall of Fame of photos of the show.
Right. I just effed that up. And so we edited it for the actual thing. But I had to, like,
that's good.
I just had a total brain fart on air. And for whatever reason, in my mind, I thought D'Amico Ryans won Coach of the Year. Because I knew it was between the two of them. And it was all, I know the odds, you know. Anyway, I don't.
Don't you, they got the same amount of votes.
Yes.
They had the exact same votes, and then Stefanski won on a first place tiebreaker.
On a tiebreaker, and for whatever reason, I just. Well, we had so much conversation about DeMar Hamlin not winning and Joe Flacco and, like.
To be fair, I've actually crafted an alternate reality, which I now live by, where DeMar Hamlin actually did win Comeback Player of the Year. So if you want to live in different realities, is it with the NFL Awards? But it's fine.
I was so horrified, and so. I'm so embarrassed, and so, like, to not know. And again, he was great. And I think it's better that, like, it's better than the reverse. Like, if I'd said he'd won and he actually hadn't won, that's uglier. But he,
like, the cost of La La Land.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah. But because he won and I said he did, anyway, so.
He played it perfectly.
Again, congratulations to Coach of the Year, Kevin Stefanski. Thank you so much, by the way, for being so gracious with me being such a moron.
Good.
Such a terrible. Right, I'm not a journalist. I'm also not,
and he fit you in unplanned.
Yes,
he didn't plan to stop by and do that interview.
No, correct. And he did, like, and literally, like, I went over. He was doing an interview with local Cleveland radio, and I asked the PR director, and I said, "Would you mind?" He goes, "We're really tight," but he goes, "When he gets off the air, I'll ask Coach." So the only reason that interview happened is that, I mean, thank you to Browns PR for because they could have just said no.
Right.
They said, "Well, we'll present it to him." You know, that's happened to me before too, where PR has just been like, nah,
right,
he's not doing that. You know, but he's like, I'll ask Coach, you know, and obviously Stefanski said, yeah, I know Matthew, and, you know, and I've interviewed him before, and, like, he's the sweetest guy. He's a great coach. He's Coach of the Year. And I just,
apparently,
I was so embarrassed and horrified.
Yeah.
I just, listen, I'm not a journalist. I'm also not a broadcaster. Let's be clear about that.
All
right, let's close this
Have
out.
Have either of you done something that dumb on air? I'm such a moron. I'm such a maroon.
No.
We'll see. Our day's coming.
I hit reply all to an email once. No, that doesn't count.
You did bet on DeMar Hamlin.
I did bet on DeMar Hamlin. I also bet on D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah. A significant amount of money, by the way. A mind-boggling, you know,
D'Amico was actually a worse result. D'Amico was a worse result than me than Flacco, but I still won on Stefanski, so it didn't feel as dire. Also, the other thing, too, is that I'm fine, like, ethically with Stefanski winning over Ryan's. Like, Stefanski had an awesome case. I probably would have voted for Stefanski over Ryan's, too. I would not have voted for Joe Flacco over DeMar Hamlin, which makes
fair
sense.
Right. Yeah, fair enough. But, I mean, yeah, Stefanski had ultimately five different quarterbacks and, like, massive injuries.
Half of his team was on IR. Like, he did.
He lost his starting quarterback and his starting running back. I mean, that's the thing everyone forgets is that Nick Chubb went down, like, very early in the season, and that offense was predicated on Nick Chubb being a massive part of it.
Like, their fourth string offensive tackle.
They were out scheming and out coaching other teams all year.
All year. So.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Exco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Exco, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, let's close this out with some combine winners and losers. Before we do that, here's the latest big
board. Do I make the combine loser list? I assume I do.
After that, you were a winner because the rumor column was great. But, boy, we didn't know about this. The definitive Stefanski blunder.
Yeah. I will say this, though. Give me credit, though.
Because no,
I could have
no,
no.
I'm gonna ask,
absolutely not.
I'm going to ask for credit on one thing. I didn't have to play the clip. I could have like just it could have just been.
No, it's good. It's good content. Good yeah, organic content.
All right, so you see the top 10 here. A couple winners at the combine. Roma Dunze, what a year it's been for him. Ends up running a 4.45 40 at 6'3", 212 pounds. Dunze is everybody's favorite interview athlete. Comes in as wide receiver 3 for me. Another guy that you will see shortly on this list is Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. I know everybody's talking about Xavier Worthy breaking the record at a 4.21, and he weighed 165 pounds doing it. That's impressive. But Brian Thomas Jr. at 209 pounds running a 4.33 is significantly more impressive. That's why he's the 12th player on my board.
Yeah, I get that as well. And you've seen a lot of Brian Thomas hype starting to happen because of that. I want to go back to Xavier Worthy just for 1 second, though, because I've saw there's a lot of stuff that was going online about how, like, all these guys that ran super fast 40s wide receivers, and then they, yeah, like, didn't do anything in the NFL, right, and, like, you know, the implication being, like, who cares about the 40-yard dash? And I get that on some level. I mean, like, Jerry Rice run, like, a 4.6 or
yeah,
something?
That's the most notable one. Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that a lot of the guys that, like, you know, ran really fast 40s were not accomplished college wide receivers. Xavier Worthy was.
He absolutely was. He was somebody that when you start this process last summer, he's on every list you have. He was a top 10 wide receiver for me going into the season as a prospect.
Yep.
And he never wavered from that. I've had him really in round. I still do have him in round two. He's going to go round one. I think his play strength needs to increase. Obviously, playing at 165 pounds, you're worried about when guys get hands on him. But if you can give him free releases, and we saw this with Tank Dell last year, and Worthy, obviously, world-class kind of speed. Yeah. He's a legitimate NFL prospect. And that's why he gets the first round bump because of the 40, but he's a legitimate round two prospect based on talent.
Right, there you go. And so, I mean, some of the guys that you saw on that list there, like the Darius Hayward Bay and John Ross and like
track athletes.
Yeah.
He's not just a track athlete. I actually think his tracking is phenomenal, tracking the deep ball.
Yeah.
He's a legitimate wide receiver.
Yep. Let's talk about a couple of these other receivers in particular. Where do you think Ladd McConkey out of Georgia is going to go, who's also another winner out of the combine?
I think right in round two. I mean, he's a guy that had a great Senior Bowl. He's constantly gets open. Him and I talked about this at the combine. He gets kind of pigeonholed as a slot. He played outside at Georgia this year. He plays inside. He plays outside. He's got good vertical speed, 4.39 40, 6 foot, 186 pounds. Knows how to separate, knows how to simply catch the ball, track the ball. He is a high, high, high floor wide receiver with really good athleticism. I think he's locked into the top 50.
One of the trendy names that's coming out of the combine with among fantasy Twitter is Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, Pearsall, I mean, another guy that's just had a great season for Florida, over 900 yards. I thought he was the best wide receiver at the Senior Bowl, him and Roman Wilson. And Pearsall's another guy. You look at the testing, I mean, he had the best three-cone time, which is very important for wide receivers. He jumps 42 inches in the vert. That's amazing. 4.4 140. He's another dude that just great releases off the line of scrimmage. He's great without the ball. He's great with the ball. He had the best hands at the Senior Bowl. You look at some of the catches he made for Florida. He's reliable. So Pearsall, right in the mold of McConkey, they're both going in the top 50.
Okay. Not much buzz about running backs, obviously, in this class, certainly relative to the wide receivers. But what about Tyrone Tracy Jr. out of Purdue, who tested well?
This is my sleeper in the draft. I feel like nobody cared about him all year. He actually went to Iowa as a wide receiver. He transfers to Purdue to play running back from an old coach that was trying to recruit him as a running back. He wanted to play wide receiver. Now he, you know, grants that coach to his success. He goes, running back is for me. Good tackle breaker. Another guy that tested really well, 209 pounds, 4.48, 40-yard dash. Really tested well in everything. He's going to get on the field early because he can block. He blocked at wide receiver for Iowa for so long. He can catch the ball. True three-down player. And I know teams are on this guy. Analysts, I have not seen much love for him. A Shrine Bowl guy. I think he could sneak into the third round.
Okay.
Okay. And obviously it's all about opportunity as well. All right, Connor, give us a couple of guys that hurt their stock at the combine. It doesn't always, you know, there are people that have had, there are many players that have had bad combines that ultimately then wind up as very productive pros, but who's some guys that stock down.
Yeah, three quick ones for me. One, I loved Troy Franklin, and I still have him in my top 30. But when you come in at 176 pounds and then you run 4.41, which is really fast, it felt like Jalin Hyatt last year. Jalin Hyatt was, oh, he's going to come in under 180 pounds, which is concerning, but he'll probably run 4.3 flat. I thought the same thing with Troy Franklin, and he didn't do that. And then you look at him going through the drills. He didn't look comfortable catching the ball. I like Troy Franklin a lot, but a disappointing showing for the combine for a guy that if you're going to come in light, you got to fly. And he came in light, and he ran good, but not what was expected. How about Audric Estime from Notre Dame, the running back that was one of the best tackle breakers in the country at 221 pounds? You ran a 4.71. It's not that you're not going to get drafted, but there's not a lot of running backs that run in the 4.7s and go on to be really productive NFL backs. So that's a brutal one for him. And then Jatavion Sanders, the tight end out of Texas, his traits, everything that's based on him being a special prospect is his speed. He ran almost a 4.7 at 245 pounds. That's slow for a pass-catching tight end, not an inline tight end, not a blocking tight end. So Jatavion Sanders had a chance to go in the top 40. That's not happening now after the combine.
Okay.
You also, you interviewed a ton of prospects. Yeah. Last question for me here, Connor. You interviewed a ton of prospects at the Combine. I know they're all up on the NFL on NBC YouTube channel, right? Check them all out. Is there one guy that you sat down with that you just absolutely loved?
Yeah, Jalen Polk, the wide receiver from Washington. He is just different. All the Washington guys were great. You could see why that team shocked the country this year and made it to the national title game. They were big-time underdogs throughout the entire season. Polk is not appreciated as much because Roma Dunze, understandably, gets a lot of attention. Michael Penix gets a lot of attention. Polk does the and he tested really well, Polk, but he does the things you can't quantify on paper, and it's going over the middle, making the tough catches, great hands, fearless, great energy guy. You really meet him, and you're like, oh, okay, this is the dude in the room that everybody kind of lights up over. Polk reminds me a lot of Chris Godwin, and I think he's going to go on day two of the draft, and I think he'll be honestly one of the biggest sleepers going into next year out of this deep, deep, deep wide receiver class.
Okay. Is this the best wide receiver class there's ever been?
Yeah. I mean, the year with Chase and Waddle and Devon, that group was special, but this is deeper.
Yep.
That's the difference.
Yep. I mean, we're going to have three wide receivers in the top six, potentially.
Right. And then Brian Thomas Jr., Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, they're all going in the first round.
Yep.
And then day two, when we're taping our reaction videos, it'll be like a wide receiver every other pick.
Which would be great. So we're going to do that draft night. Once again, just the same thing. We'll be reacting very quickly to all. It's going to be a very fantasy-friendly draft, so we'll be doing that. But we'll talk about that more as we get to draft. Meanwhile, free agency about to start.
Yep.
We'll be back here next Thursday doing this show.
Sure.
Anything else you got?
No. I was just going to make a joke about how it seems like with this wide receiver class, we're going to have a wide receiver go to the Kansas City Chiefs, and then they're just going to win the Super Bowl again.
Probably.
We'll talk about it.
All
season
football
long.
Football is sometimes simple.
Yeah.
People forget that.
Yeah. Mahomes is just better than everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. For Connor Rogers, Jay Croucher, and again, I'm so sorry, Kevin Stefanski. I'm Matthew Berry. Peace out.
That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Exco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Exco, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.